Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barbara Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you, whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org, ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. As Beth said, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio show. Today, I will be with you. I'm Janice Cromer, the director of AGLCA, and Beth McHugh, our editor of the newsletter and many other marketing endeavors, is with us also. For those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, and that comprises the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways. Then we've got the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of the Heartland. America's Great Loop Association, or AGLCA, as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and curiosity about America's Great Loop. Our association's primary purpose is to give out information and enhance the overall experience of those learning about, dreaming of, as well as exploring and cruising America's Great Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org, and we'd love for you to visit and become a member. We're really happy to tell you our guest host this week is Gold Looper Bob Kunath. Bob and Carol completed the loop in 2005, and they've been cruising extensively since then. They go back and forth between Michigan and Florida, and I believe they're already in Florida at this point. Bob is going to talk to us about the depths of the northern waterways, specifically the Great Lakes, and maybe even a little bit about Georgian Bay. Bob, welcome, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Great. Thanks, Janice and Beth. I'm glad to be here.
Great.
And here being Florida, of course, but also as guest host for your radio show.
Well, thank you so much. I know this was short notice for you. Tell us what's going on with the waterways, Bob. Is it critical? Is it exaggerated? How low is it?
Well, you know, for those of you who have made it up the Gulf of the Atlantic coast and found that most of the way your depth sounder, if you have it set for 10 feet or less, I know a good way, good part of the way up there, mine was going off a lot. So, if you're used to that, you're probably then used to low water. What's different, of course, is that what we're seeing now in the Great Lakes, particularly Lake Michigan and Huron, is not typical. And so they're having maybe just a tad of difficulty adjusting to it as far as making sure the harbors are in the shape they should be and coming up with the money to keep them that way. So we're going to talk a little bit about what to expect and kind of how to be cautious, to use caution, and so you don't wind up having an issue. And I can tell you this much, and now it's 20 years of cruising around Lake Michigan and Lake Huron, and I've never touched bottom. So it can be done, even though, of course, the water was higher then. But you just need to know of a few things to watch out for.
What is the typical depth of Lake Michigan, Bob?
Lake Michigan is the actual surface is 577.5 feet above sea level, but there are parts of Lake Michigan that are 800 feet deep. You're crossing the lake, you're going to see 400 to 500 feet, depending on where you go. It's pretty deep water on the lake itself. That isn't the issue. The issue, of course, is particularly on the Michigan side. There's a lot of inland lakes, like Lake Macatawa down in Holland, for example, and Lake Betsy up in Frankfort. Those lakes were inland lakes, and they cut channels through them many years ago to get access to the Lake Michigan boaters. Consequently, they're terrific for anchoring in the traditional sense, because all you got to do is pop off the lake for a mile or two, and you're in a relatively shallow and definitely protected water. But, you know, lately now we've got this issue of, is there enough of that water available? So the Lake Michigan side is the one that has most of the problems, but there are other exceptions to that. But let me set a level playing field so we understand the terms I'm going to be using. There's a term called low water datum, D-A-T-U-M, and you'll find that on every chart. When you look at a chart, it'll tell you what the low water datum is. And for the Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, North Channel, George and Pay pool, it's all one body of water for height, for depth purposes. That datum is 577.5 feet, low water datum. In other words, when they write the charts and they drop the string down there or whatever it is they do to figure out how deep the water is, they're assuming that the water level is 577 feet above sea level. So when you see a depth of 6 feet, if the water is 578.5 feet, you actually have 7 foot below your the water level, below the surface of the water. But if it gets a foot below datum, or 576.5 feet, now you've only got 5 feet below the water level. So that's how you have to learn. That's why you have to know this to interpret the charts.
Uh-huh.
Right now, for example, as of April 12th, I think it is the last reading I got, it was 13 inches below low water datum. And that's a very atypical condition. The water levels that we've seen now since 2000, the last 10 to 12 years, have typically run in every year below the long-term average, which is actually, by the way, 579 feet is the long-term average. But as recently as, let's say, almost 25, 30 years ago, around early to mid-80s, the water level was 2 feet above. On the average, 2 feet above the long-term average. So what we've actually seen here is a drop of about 4 feet in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And since most of the harbors and harbor entrances and all that were designed for what they thought was normal, well, now it's not exactly ideal. And some of the older harbors that have fixed piers, for example, you'll pull into a slip that they direct you to and find out that the finger walk, the finger pier alongside your boat is about 4 feet above the boat. So that might give you a little bit of a challenge to get in.
Yeah.
And out of the boat.
And now, is Georgian Bay, you said it's the same pool, so basically the same situation is throughout the waterway?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, because you've got all these, the Detroit Passage and the other passages between Lake Huron and Georgian Bay and the North Channel, they're all sharing the same pool. Along, and there's that 5-mile-long connection at the Mackinac Strait, where the water goes back and forth between Lake Michigan and Lake Huron. So it makes it all one level pool. If you look at the datum on the charts, in all of those areas, you'll see 577.5 feet as the low water datum. Unfortunately, the same problem is up in Lake Superior, because actually Lake Superior is much bigger than any of the other lakes. It's the biggest lake in the world. And the snowfall and rainfall in the winter in Lake Superior is what feeds all the others. If we don't get enough rain and snow up in Lake Superior, you're not going to have enough rain, you know, water filling up that Lake Michigan Huron pool. And that's what we've seen for a number of years now.
So Lake Superior feeds the other lakes.
Yes. Say again?
Lake Superior is actually the source of the water in Lake Michigan and Georgian Bay.
Yeah, sure. For all the Great Lakes, because the water starts in Lake Superior, it filters down into through the Sault Ste. Marie Channel up there into Lake Michigan and Huron, and then around Detroit, it goes down the St. Clair River from there into Lake Erie. Lake Erie then, of course, goes across the Niagara Falls into Lake Ontario.
Uh-huh.
And then down the St. Lawrence Seaway down
right.
to the Atlantic Ocean.
It's the lack of rain and snow that's causing the problem.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's part of the problem. The other part of the other side of the issue is a number of years ago, a couple of decades ago, the Corps of Engineers widened the outflow from Lake Huron, which is the St. Clair River around Detroit, into Lake St. Clair, and then down and from there into Lake Erie. They widened it to accommodate better shipping. And I haven't verified this, but what I've heard is that the flow through that passage that they created is 8 times what they projected. So it's basically an oops. We're not getting enough rain at the north end and snow, rather, from Lake Superior feeding the lakes, and it's like a bathtub drain down the bottom. It's going, the outflow is much greater than expected. So you've got a double whammy there. The solution is to, on the St. Clair River, is to build some locks and dams and so on, which is I've heard of. I don't know if there's anything concrete being done there, because they're talking many billions to get this under control. So it's a good question as to whether it'll happen or not. In the meantime, of course, you've got all the cities around those lakes using that fresh water. It really is good water, by the way, feeding their municipal supplies. And there's some of the states down south that have had bigger trouble than suing to try to get access to the same source of water. So it's being attacked on a number of different sides. So it's hard to say whether it's going to get better anytime soon. So again,
it's actually man-made.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a good part of it is man-made. That's that St. Clair River thing, as well as the increased domestic water usage. So what we've seen is, I'm looking at a graph right now, for example, of the last 100 years of Lake Superior, and it was remarkably consistent over the past 90 years until, again, 10 years ago, and then we started seeing a couple of foot drop from Lake Superior there, which mirrors the drop in Lake Michigan and Lake Huron. And Lake Erie somehow has been very stable. Somehow when it gets there, I guess the outflow from over the falls hasn't really changed anything in the last, since they built the dams that we have to go through over there. So it's basically a problem in Lake Michigan and Huron, and to a certain extent Lake Superior.
Mm-hmm.
Now the impact of this, yeah, go ahead.
What are marinas doing to keep their business coming? I mean, to keep their slips open.
Well, fortunately, Michigan is somewhat like Florida. They know where their bread is buttered. If you don't keep the expression, if mom is not happy, nobody's happy. Well, in Michigan, if the boater ain't happy, nobody's happy, because that feeds the economy. So.
Uh-huh.
So the governor just signed a $21 million, only a week or two ago, it's a $21 million appropriation to dredge the channels around Lake Michigan where it needed to be. But let me tell you how critical that is. Leland, for example, that's one of I'd love to bring that example up, because, there's plenty of marinas all around Lake Michigan, except for the very first part when you come in through underneath the Mackinac Bridge. There's nothing for about 40 miles. So you either go to Beaver Island from there or Harbor Springs, and then you move. Then you can move to Charlevoix, which isn't far. But then unless you go down into Traverse Bay, from Charlevoix down to Frankfort, it's about 75 miles. And the only harbor in between is Leland, and it's not a big harbor. I think they've got 75 slips or something like that. But it is a harbor of refuge, so if you pull in there, you will get accommodated one way or other. I've been rafted up 3 deep there myself. So,
Bob, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 minute. We're just going to play a quick commercial from Dozier's. Just give us a minute.
Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center lies at the mouth of Broad Creek, near the intersection of the Rappahannock River and Chesapeake Bay, surrounded by the lush green forest of Stingray Point in the community of Deltaville, Virginia, just yards from the open waters of Chesapeake Bay. Dozier's Regatta Point can best be described as classy coastal. The southern-style veranda with its incredible sunset views and white rockers is a favorite gathering place, both at sunset to watch the boats go by and in the morning when a full breakfast is served. If you're looking for an affordable oasis amidst the hustle and bustle, you don't need to look any further than Dozier's Regatta Point. For information, call 804-776-8400. Dozier's Regatta Point is a proud Admiral sponsor of AGLCA.
Okay, Bob, where are the most critical ports? What would you say are the ones? I mean, is there anything that we need to avoid?
Yeah, all right. Let's talk a little bit of, again. Let's finish up on Leland.
Sure.
Last year they only had 3 feet at the harbor entrance until June, when they got the money to dredge that one. And then they restored it, I believe, to 11 feet or something like that. But it's already silted back in this year. So, I mean, they have to do it every year. So, fortunately, loopers don't get into Lake Michigan until August. So if there are any pending projects, hopefully they would all be done by then. But there are exceptions. It may or may not happen. One that comes to mind is Portage, Michigan. And this applies actually to all of these ports going down the lake. If there is normally, let's say, 6, 7, 8 feet of water maintained in the center of the channel, and you've got a rough lake and the waves are coming from the west, let's say a 5-foot wake is coming from the west up into those harbors, the water depth in that harbor entrance now is actually going to vary if the normal, if the calm depth is, let's say, 7 feet. If there's a 5-foot wake going through there, it's going to range from 10 feet to 3 feet. And if you've got a, there was a sailboat from returning from Mackinac in August a few years ago with a long keel. I forget how long it was, but he went in on a 5-foot wake, and sure enough, he pounded the bottom, and his keel poked the hole through his hull, and it sunk right there. So you don't want that to happen to you. So it's always a good idea to stake off, like to stay tied up on Lake Michigan to rough. They're short scope the waves. They're very uncomfortable. If you got anything more than 2 to 4, stay home. You know, stay wherever you are. Go to the movies or enjoy the town or whatever. But it gets much more hazardous if you're trying to go into one of these narrow, wall-lined, you know, the harbor entrances, which is most of them. So just be cautious of that. It's a good idea to call ahead a day or two to make and talk to the harbor master. They're all municipal, so they're not likely to lie to you like the private marine operators may somewhere else. Most of the harbors there are municipal. Call ahead, say to it that you've got plenty of room for your particular vessel, especially if you've got a 5 foot or more. On the other side of the lake, and then, by the way, I strongly recommend the other side anyway. I mean, conventional wisdom of doing Michigan is good. They're great ports. Don't misunderstand me, but I'd rather go down halfway to, let's say, Frankfurt and cut across and travel the other side so you get a taste of both sides.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, but forget that for a moment. Door County, which is a peninsula separating the main body of Lake Michigan from Green Bay to the west, Green Bay itself is pretty shallow. It's a huge body of water, but it's not very deep. So read your charts carefully going in there. There are well-marked channels to get into all the major ports. Make sure you follow them. Stay between the red and the green, as Fred Myers likes to say. But you may want to call ahead to those harbors there. They're some of the best harbors on Lake Michigan, Egg Harbor, Fish Creek, Sister Bay, and all that. They're really very pretty harbors. But I can't say what it, this year, since we're down a foot lower than last year even, I can't really say what it's going to be there. Call them. I certainly would avoid any ports on the eastern side of Door County, from Sturgeon Bay north up to Washington Island. There's a lot of rocks up there, and the channels are decent, but, you know, if you don't know them, it's probably a good idea to stay away from them. From the Kewaunee on down, you're probably not going to run into any trouble. I would not go to the Kewaunee Municipal Marina, but there's another one there. Salmon Harbor, it's called. It's an immediate right as soon as you get into the harbor. And they should have enough water getting into there. Manitowoc, forget Two Rivers. They don't have any water right now. Manitowoc, Sheboygan, Port Washington, Milwaukee, Racine, all the way down to Chicago have plenty of water getting in. Their harbors were built on the lake as opposed to connecting to an inland lake, so they don't have that same narrow channel issue that the Michigan side has. So, besides, they're great cities. They really are. So.
Fantastic. Well, that is really interesting. But really, you wouldn't discourage any loopers from going.
Absolutely not. There's even if there's, you know, I gave you the areas to avoid. You know, stay away from those. And in particular, if you've got a bigger boat, they'll call ahead. 5 feet should not be a problem, I would say, in most harbors. But there might be some areas within the harbors. And try to find the harbors that have floating docks. For one thing, they're going to be newer because they were, and some of them, by the way, the one across from Mackinac. It's escaping me. It's immediately across from Mackinac. It's straight. And Mackinac City, they all have new floating docks up there. Leland has new floating docks. Frankfurt, Jacobson Marina doesn't have floaters, but they're good and substantial, so I wouldn't worry about them, even though it's going to be a climb to get out of the boat. There's a number of them that are in process, so I can't say. On the other side, however, almost all of the piers are floating docks, almost all of the docks on the entire coast. So you wouldn't have to worry about them there.
Okay, Beth, do you have any questions you want to ask Bob?
I don't think so. Nothing I could think of. We pretty much went over this for the newsletter already. So.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate
well,
it.
Okay.
Say hello to Carol for us.
Let me just mention one more thing, though.
I'm sorry.
St. Joseph and Waukegan Harbor just made news recently because they've had to close them to commercial traffic because of low water.
Oh.
That should not affect pleasure craft. You know, the commercial needs a lot deeper draft.
I think people hear that and absolutely panic and just assume it's closed to everyone.
That's right, yeah. And the reason they were wiped out was because of Sandy, believe it or not. Sandy brought 25-foot waves to Lake Michigan.
Really?
Right. It was really awful. So it did a lot of damage to a lot of the silted bottoms and moved a lot of stuff around. Anyway, they were close to commercial, but I would still call specific marinas, particularly in St. Joseph, to make sure that where you want to go, that they got it. So.
Hey, Bob, thank you very much. Maybe we can see you at the Fall Rendezvous next year. We'd love to see you again.
You know, I'd love to go. I'll have to see if we can do that on the way south.
I know. You have such a busy, busy schedule. Well, I appreciate it, and keep in touch. And that's
very
it
good.
For this week, everyone. Talk to you next week. Thank you. Thank you, Beth.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.